just another night for Supernatural Girls. Real stories, real answers to life's biggest supernatural mysteries. And now for another exciting interview with paranormal experts from this world and others. Here's your host, paranormal researcher Patricia Baker, on the one, the only, Supernatural Girls.
Welcome, everyone, to a very special show tonight on Supernatural Girls Radio. I am your host, Patricia Baker, and I'm here with my co-host, PK, all the way from Tucson. How are you, PK?
Absolutely sweltering in our heat today.
Oh, just rub it in, why don't you?
We're barely... Yes, just a little bit. It's 89 on the back patio.
My God. Oh, we're freezing. Well, we need some of that. Sunshine. Good things coming our way, I hope. So we're going to do just a little bit of introductory work tonight because we have an incredible guest.
Yes, we do.
Generous with his time to come on the show and share a lot of information about vaccinations. Del Bigtree is going to be joining us in a few minutes. He is an investigative medical journalist and the producer of an incredible film called Vaxxed, and we're going to bring him on in a few. But in the meantime, PK, did you have another correspondence with someone who wanted their name done?
Yes, I did. And we're just going to call her Betty. And she sent me her information because she's going through a lot of fears, especially with the topic we were talking about this evening. So she's creating a lot of anger within herself that's making her ill because she can't get anybody to listen to her because she's watching her young grandchild go through a lot of trauma. And this is going through fears that she herself has. So I've tried to express to her that she's in a 4-year, so there's a lot of anger within her anyway. This is a 7-month. So when we start talking about certain things and she wouldn't watch the show, she went ballistic. That's what she sent an email to me. And it's scary because how do you tell somebody it's okay, you're going to be fine, when you know that there's major issues ongoing? So I tried to give her some good information, encouraged her to listen to our show this evening because I think she's going to need the extra expertise that our guest is going to give her.
Yes, absolutely. We all need to hear what is really going on. I mean, it's a very scary thing today. I was reading a lot of information, as I know you were. We watched a lot of videos besides Vaxxed about vaccines. And here's the deal. In 1962, I just pulled this right off the internet, there were 5 vaccine doses for children in the United States up to the age of 18. In 1983, it was 24. In 2016, 72. And 39 doses by kindergarten.
It's scary.
I'm just appalled by all of this. And I thank God we didn't have to go through that when we were children. However, I'm hearing, as you heard from Del when we were off the air, we may be facing mandatory vaccines soon ourselves as adults. So it's a crazy, crazy thing. But let me just stop for a minute. I wanted to talk about our paranormal news because it's very similar in ways of the topic we're going into tonight. And we're breaking rank a little bit because, as our audience knows, we're very big on the paranormal. But this topic has to be covered and we have to bring it to you guys tonight. But in the meantime, I have become hooked on the missing 411 stories. Now, here's another situation where government agency, the Forestry Division, and others are not telling us the truth about people that have gone missing in our national forests and parks and other places. So David Politis has done an amazing amount of police work tracking down these cases and comparing what is going on. There's some certain details that he looks for in every case. He's done an amazing job with this. And we're going to get him on the show because this has to also be addressed. Again, here's another situation where we are not being told the truth. And this is not to discourage people from enjoying our beautiful wilderness. But it is important to know what can happen and the things to do to protect yourself when you're out there. So these very bizarre cases, there's something that, like I said, I couldn't stop listening to them. And David is a great speaker. I want him to come on and share with us what he has discovered. And we'll take it from there. So I am sure that's going to be another terrific show. But we are not being told the truth in so many different ways. It's the mainstream media that has become bought and paid for. By who?
The drug companies,
right?
Big bucks.
Yeah. And so we can't trust them. We really can't. We know that because we can't trust them when it comes to paranormal. They make fun of us. They put us down. They do their best to make abductees who've been through hell go through another kind of hell. So we've already understood this about the media from our side of the fence and the paranormal. But now we're talking about our health. I mean, what is life like if you don't have good health, right? It's pretty darn miserable. So we have to start looking at this with a critical eye. And I've seen so many people come forward and start talking about this and get absolutely beaten up in the press. Look at Jenny McCarthy.
Oh, definitely. She went through a rough time.
Yeah. And so we got to get all the facts. And that's what we're here to do tonight. We are here to talk to the expert. And we're going to bring him on in about a second here because he is the best in the industry. He is Del Bigtree, an investigative medical journalist. He was an Emmy Award-winning producer on the daytime talk show The Doctors for 6 years. Now, he began investigating the story of the CDC whistleblower and the fraud perpetrated by the CDC, and he realized he had stumbled upon a story of corruption and deception beyond any he had ever seen, and it took a lot of courage. Let me tell you, you know that. We all know that, to bring this movie and this information out to all of us. So, Del, welcome to the show.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's our pleasure having you, and thank you for having the courage
to
definitely. Do this kind of thing, because this does affect people's careers, doesn't it?
Yeah, there's no doubt that if you decide to go near this topic, you know, you are going to be ridiculed. And if you have a career that can be gotten to, it will be gotten to. So, you know, if you're in medicine and you're a doctor and you step forward and even begin to intimate that you have a question about a vaccine, the pharmaceutical industry will descend upon you and all of the medical establishment will descend upon you and try to, you know, usually set out to get you fired. Television is mostly now and being bought and paid for by the pharmaceutical industry. About 75% of the advertising on television is pharmaceutical. So if you work in television and you decide to speak out against the pharmaceutical industry and vaccines, then you can expect you've made it very difficult to ever work in television again. So that's just, it's part of the whole bullying, you know, way of life now. We're accepting it. We're accepting pediatricians, doctors that take care of babies, bullying parents into vaccinating. And if they don't, now the official decree from the AAP, the Pediatric Association, is bully them. If that doesn't work, kick them out of your practice. I mean, it's just, it's horrific that trained professionals are acting like this and being goaded on to act like that from their superiors and the bodies and the mind trust of the medical industry thinks that bullying is the best way to go. And I think it just shows that obviously they're in trouble, that they're having to be reduced to bullying tactics. When you're a bully in school, it's usually because you don't have the ability to communicate your ideas very well. Or you don't have good ideas. Exactly right.
Yes.
Beginning of our gangsters.
Yes.
That's right.
What it feels like. It really does feel like a gangster mentality. Now, you got involved in this because you started to see the writing on the wall and it wasn't pretty. So how did you come basically to understand that there was such a massive scandal happening at the CDC?
Well, you know, there were two beats to what really got me involved in this. I mean, as you said, I was a producer on the daytime talk show, The Doctors. So on that show, a great show, by the way, which I really enjoyed working on. I don't ever want it to seem like I didn't enjoy that time. We, you know, I got to investigate the best doctors in the world, best science, new technologies. there was a great sort of Santa Claus element to working on a show like that, where you would find somebody with some unanswerable medical issue, and then we'd research with a team of people and try and find someone that was, you know, maybe had a cure to that very thing or a surgery that could fix it. And then you'd put them together and make this great television moment where you'd save their life or give them a surgery they would never be able to afford or even knew was out there. So a really great time working on that show. But I also was, there's seven producers on the show. You sort of produce a show for every day of the week, you know, for an entire year. And so I was considered to be one of the more cutting edge or radical producers, because I would take on stories that would challenge industry. I'm wired in a way that I think that where there's billions of dollars at stake, and usually some sort of, when I start to hear or there's some red flags go up that an industry may be lying to us, for instance, Monsanto and the pesticide company or chemical company, I did a story when the World Health Organization ruled that glyphosate, which is in Roundup, which is the pesticide herbicide sprayed on like 90% of our food.
Yeah, very.
The World
dangerous.
Health Organization said it was carcinogenic, or probably carcinogenic to humans. So I had a debate on the show between a pharmacologist from Monsanto and a GMO activist named Jeffrey Smith. So I would do shows like that. I was always looking to try and warn people that where there's billions of dollars, these giant industries, and it doesn't take much to have people really understand these stories now. I think that we live in a time where most of America feels disenfranchised by their government. I think we all know that industries are getting away with murder. They're lobbying politicians. They're getting their own lawyers and professionals into high seats of power like the FDA or the CDC, and we're all being poisoned.
Absolutely. Making their own laws also.
That's right.
So
this was just another one of those stories. I had an insider contacted me and said, Del, in 2 weeks, there's going to be a whistleblower from the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, that's going to come forward and say that they are committing scientific fraud and that they know vaccines are causing autism. That was 2 weeks before the story ever broke online. And I thought, if that's true, that's going to be the biggest medical story in my lifetime. And I wasn't able to do the story on our show because we were totally a medical show. I mean, funded by pharmaceutical products. And that's how a show called The Doctors, we do a lot of medical advertising. And we were also really good friends with the CDC, and our executives had no desire to sort of ruin that relationship. But what was shocking was that 2 weeks later, the whistleblower story did come forward online. You had this top CDC scientist saying things like, every time I see an autistic child, I feel guilty because I know we did what we did. We are part of the problem. We've caused this. And
they did. They absolutely did. And this is this gentleman, yeah. I have to say, Del, through the entire movie, which was an incredibly well done film, I was on the edge of my seat, scared to death that whistleblower was going to end up in a river face down.
I think we're all worried about that. I mean, you know, we see these stories all the time. People ask me, how is he doing? You know, he still works at the CDC. He still has to go into that building every day. They've moved him out of vaccine safety and into HIV research. But he is working amongst the five scientists or four other scientists that he has pointed to and said, we should really all be going to jail. It's amazing he is still alive. And maybe the CDC is comfortable because they know something I don't. Maybe they don't. They know that the Congress is not going to subpoena him or bring him to testify. That's something we're fighting for right now. And I feel like we're getting closer to it. But, you know, it's a precarious situation. It's been 2.5 years. I mean, this, you know, can you imagine if the tobacco whistleblower, Jeffrey Wigand, had come forward and we never brought him into court, you know, and we let the tobacco industry continue to tell us that their science was showing that tobacco was good for you. It takes a whistleblower to change history and to change, major lies. we have a whistleblower at the most important health agency in the world, and he's not getting his day in court. That should upset every American. And people that say that you're lying, or this you've made more out of this whistleblower, it's a hoax. Then I say, then why am I so confident that I want him brought before the Congress? If you think I'm lying, if you think this is a hoax, you should be standing right next to me and saying, yes, subpoena Dr. William Thompson. Let's get to the bottom of this and prove
that's right.
That Del Bigtree is wrong. What are you afraid of? Why exactly. aren't you saying that? So I think it's pretty obvious what's going on.
Now, these vaccine companies are making a lot of money. I'm putting it, I think, mildly.
Yes.
What was it last year, I think, that Merck earned? I think it was, tens of billions, with a B,
yes.
of dollars. And as you were mentioning off the air, that this is an easy way for them to make money because these vaccines are now mandated.
Yeah, I mean, it's a perfect product. I mean, in some ways, you can't fault the pharmaceutical industry. They have a brilliant plan that has, ultimately been put into place. There's a lot of things that I didn't know about vaccines before I got into this story, and a lot of things that most people don't know. Essentially, all anyone knows is that vaccines are safe and effective because that's all anyone ever says. Mm-hmm. Every news anchor, everywhere we get media, every doctor, they have one line: vaccines are safe and effective. Now go back to sleep or hand us your kid and let's get this going.
Right.
There's no discussion beyond that. In fact, that's about the depth of the education your doctor's got. It's shocking that when, you really question a doctor, a pediatrician, what exactly were you taught about vaccines? And they say, I was taught that they were safe and they're effective. They have no idea right. what's in them. They can't list the ingredients in them. They have no idea how they're made. They don't know how they work, really, except for, a really pedestrian idea that everybody else shares. And you have this industry that is, one of the arguments against to me by a doctor when I first got involved was, well, vaccines don't make money. So why would there be a cover up? That was the case back in, really the early 80s. And so one of the where this whole problem, I think, really starts at the I think where it gets worse. There's been issues from vaccines from the beginning. There's been people against vaccines since the polio vaccine and the smallpox vaccine, that their children were killed by the vaccine, or outbreaks that were started by the vaccine. These are things that are known. They happened. I mean, it's a fact. You can't dance around that. People die from vaccines all the time, and people are injured. It's a sort of an accepted casualty, which is one of the things I really take issue with and we can get into later. But where this whole vaccine program really gets out of control is right in 1986. What most people don't know is the vaccine industry was about to go bankrupt because they were under so many lawsuits for death and injury to children, specifically the DPT, the diphtheria, pertussis, and tetanus vaccine, was extremely problematic and hurting a lot of children. And instead of fixing that vaccine, instead what they did was they blackmailed the government. They essentially all got together, and the vaccine makers said, we're going to stop making all vaccines for your childhood vaccination program unless you protect us from liability. Ronald Reagan was the president at the time, and as I understand it, he was really not happy and did not want to sign it because he thought it would be dangerous to give an industry that much freedom, especially when it came to products injected into babies. But he did it, and so from that moment on, the pharmaceutical industry no longer could be sued for any vaccine when it injures a child or an adult or anybody or kills them. Imagine a car company. If the brakes fail and you cannot sue the car company, you would never see a recall like we see. You hear about four or five brakes failing on a Toyota, and every Toyota in the country is recalled. Yet there's hundreds of thousands of parents, perhaps millions around the world, that all tell the story about the MMR vaccine. And there's others that mm-hmm. share this limelight. But the MMR is why that we did the film and what it's focused on. And the parents all tell the same story. My child got the vaccine, and that night or the next day had seizures and fever. and very high fever, and then lost the ability to walk, lost the ability to talk, and regressed into autism, essentially never came back. The child that they knew right before that vaccine never returned to them. They never saw the light go back on in their eyes. It's a terrible, terrible story, and it hasn't happened to 5 people or 10 people or 100 people or 1,000 people or 10,000 people. When science tells me or says, well, that's anecdotal. When you start hitting millions of people telling the same story, you're way past anecdotal. That is science. All of science technically is anecdotal, and we can't let scientists get away with making statements like that. So anyway, so we take liability away, which is essentially the only thing that makes a company make a better product. That's the incentive you have is, I'm not going to buy your product,
Yeah,
or I'm going to sue you because it's causing problems. Right. So we took that away. And then you see in 1989, all of a sudden the vaccine program triples. So the moment we took liability away, they said, oh, heck, for all those vaccines we're having trouble with in trials where people are getting injured, things like just put them on the market. What difference does it make? No one can sue us. It's someone else's problem now. And then all of a sudden, the vaccine program explodes to, as you pointed out, now 72 vaccines in a baby or in kids. And so that is obviously, we see the birth of this program now, of this product, because it really wasn't making money prior to then. Now you have a product you cannot sue, if it injures you, which is you can sue for a drug. So vaccines are better than drugs for the pharmaceutical industry because you can't be sued. Then you also don't have to advertise. You don't have to pay for advertisement because all you have to do is buy politicians and put politicians in office and sit with them and write and get your vaccine mandated to the childhood schedule. And every kid in America has to get that vaccine. And now they're starting to do it for adults. There's a mandatory forced vaccination program coming for adults. So imagine 320 million customers and growing that have no choice. You're not going to have to advertise them to them because the CDC decided and the government decided you have to get those vaccines. It's pay dirt. And so we're about to watch hundreds of billions of dollars of industry a year turn into a multi-trillion dollar industry. They are so close to passing laws and forcing vaccines upon every citizen in this country. And if America goes down, then it's the world. And they have a perfect product then. You can't sue them. The governments, force it upon you. And we all become human ATM machines for the most powerful lobby in the world.
Yeah, and right now I'm looking at an article that says there are 134 vaccine bills introduced in 35 states supporting forced vaccinations.
Isn't that amazing?
It's crazy.
It's a business model, and it's a good one. This is where it's not a conspiracy. I mean, what I try to point out to people is this isn't a conspiracy. It's happening in your state houses around the country. As you just pointed out, I'm not making this up. The pharmaceutical industry has a business plan, and they are now the most powerful lobby in Washington. They are outspending oil and gas 2-1 for every dollar that's spent lobbying politicians for oil. Pharma's spending twice that. And, I ask people, what do you think they're doing there? Have you ever seen an industry in Washington buying politicians and putting them in place because they really care about your safety and they just want to make sure you're totally safe? Come on.
Yeah.
We know that's never happened. They're there to make money. And they're allowed to. This is the United States of America. It's a free market. But we are supposed to have a government protecting us. And we're supposed to have a media reporting on this takeover and reporting on the fact that vaccines aren't being tested and they have no liability. And we have a whistleblower at the CDC that is telling us they've committed scientific fraud. Where is the media? So there's a very scary thing happening that all of our stopgaps that are supposed to protect us from industries destroying our lives are nowhere to be seen. And so you take that amount of money lobbying and then 135 bills to force vaccines, take away any exemption. Can you imagine? I mean, think about it. People get really caught up saying, well, herd immunity, all this. Just take all of the rhetoric that's in your head out for a moment and let me describe this country. Close your eyes and think about a country where the government, the state, can inject you with whatever they want, whenever they want, however they want, and your babies whenever they want, however they want, whenever they want, and you don't have a say in the matter. Does that sound like a science fiction movie, or does it sound like a Nazi Germany movie? I mean,
exactly
it doesn't
what I'm
sound
getting.
Like the United Definitely. States of America. What's happened to us? When would we ever give that much power to the state? It makes no sense. For people that scream and yell that Donald Trump is the most dangerous person in the world, or on the other side of the aisle, there are people that thought that Hillary Clinton is the most dangerous human being in the world. One of those people is going to have their hands on a vaccine being injected into your brown skin, your yellow skin, your white skin, your red skin.
Right. Yes.
And you think that's always going to go well for you? I mean, it's just, it's crazy to me.
People are putting their energies in the wrong direction. And
Absolutely.
Meanwhile, this is right in front of us. And, you know, but again, it horrifies me when I see somebody try to speak out about this and they get the crap beaten out of them. I look at Jenny McCarthy, who I mentioned earlier,
right.
She tried to bring this issue up and she was blackballed all over Hollywood for having the audacity to talk about this connection between autism and vaccines. It's like people get crazy and they don't want to hear the truth.
Fear does that. The thing that scares me more than anything else, as this is perpetrated on us over these next few years, who's going to be available to take care of the people that are, quote, alive, but not really?
Yeah. I mean, the health cost of this and the, you know, in our film, as you've seen, you know, autism's gone from 1 in 10,000 children in the 1970s and 80s to now 1 in 45 kids. Jeez. And there, and some of the numbers, some of the specialists I talked to say it's about 1 in 23 boys now. This thing is skyrocketing out of control. I mean, there's no epidemic like it anywhere. And we have an MIT scientist that graphs out this exponential rise, which is what it's been. It's not just a straight line. It's not a diagonal. It's getting steeper and steeper, increasing faster and faster and faster. And what the MIT scientist tells us in Vaxxed is, if something does not stop this current trend, we will be diagnosing 1 in 2 children with autism by 2032. And that means 80% of the boys, because it affects boys almost 4 to 1. So you're either going to be on the autism spectrum or taking care of somebody on the autism spectrum. That's the end of America. That's the end of a standing army. This is a national crisis. And the fact that the numbers are that high, I mean, again, I don't need people to take my word for it. I'm trying to get people to learn to ask questions because that's all I'm doing. I'm a journalist. Mm-hmm. You don't need to take my word for it. We have to ask yourself, why doesn't that bother me? Why doesn't it bother you that 1 in 45 kids is being diagnosed with autism and Sanjay Gupta isn't talking about it on the news as though it's a crisis? They will talk about one child getting measles in the middle of America.
Right.
But they won't talk about the fact that every 7 seconds somebody's being diagnosed with autism. You know, and that measles patient will not be news next week because they'll be better. They will be healed. No one has died of measles in 10 years, yet people are dying from the measles vaccine almost every day. So it should bother people that if you're hearing 1 in 45 children with autism for the first time tonight, ask yourself why. That's a stat. That was a poll done by the CDC. You know, these are, it's readily available, but why is your news not talking to you about it? Does that sound like a crisis to you? It sure does to me.
Oh, yes.
Definitely.
It sure does to me.
Well, we are going to continue this very important conversation with Del Bigtree. He is a producer of a great movie called Vaxxed, V-A-X-X-E-D. And you can find it at vaxxedthemovie.com for a few dollars. You can download it and watch it. We highly recommend it. And we're going to take a very short break and we'll come back and we will continue this conversation. If you have questions, you can write them in the chat room. I see we have a few coming in now, or you can give us a call at 888-919-2355. You are listening to Supernatural Girls Radio, and we will be right back.
Listening to IRN, the Inception Radio Network, Chicago, Illinois.
You didn't forget what's coming up tonight, did you? Hi, Inception Radio Network listeners, this is Amanda. Never miss that interview you were looking forward to or the show on your favorite topic. Follow IRN on Twitter, I_R_N, and get reminders about the evening's live shows as well as fun and important updates throughout the week. That's I_R_N, and never miss a great show again.
My name is Ezra, and I'm from theHighEnd.org. You've heard of medical marijuana, but who can you trust for proper guidance? Here at theHighEnd.org, we have all the information you need. Did you know that scientists have discovered cannabis can reduce inflammation, pain, and spasms? It's helped my patients reduce the symptoms of autoimmune diseases, PTSD, autism, and insomnia. A compound from hemp called CBD is doing wonders for intestinal issues, anxiety, and the nervous system. I sell this compound at thehighend.org. I've worked as a medical marijuana consultant and educator for the past 6 years. And here at thehighend.org, I can help you choose from the hundreds of cannabis strains and products and find the ones that are best for your needs. To learn more about cannabis, schedule a Skype or phone consultation, or to have a CBD product shipped right to your door, visit thehighend.org. That's thehighend, all one word.
Hello, I'd like to deposit this to checking.
Fate is a fickle master.
What?
The future is uncertain.
Okay, and what's my account balance?
The horizon is cloudy. I see a long, treacherous voyage filled with great peril.
Look, can I just get a deposit slip or something?
A fortune bank teller. Surprising. What's not surprising? How much you could save by switching to GEICO.
I see a yellow-eyed serpent.
What?
And a low APR.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
.org. I'll help make your health high-end.
Hi, can you hear my voice? Imagine how many other people can hear it too. If you have advertising needs, then look no further. The Inception Radio Network currently has openings for on-air advertisements and radio show sponsorships. Given any thought to your target demographic? Inception has you covered there too. Advertising on a network gives you multiple opportunities to advertise on a wide variety of radio show broadcasts, and we have one to fit every advertising need. You know, in recent years, internet radio has exhibited a phenomenal listener growth. An Arbitron Edison survey shows that online radio boosts at least 33 million unique visitors each week and 54 million each month. And that number amazingly continues to grow. And these listeners are a part of many businesses' core demographics. And surveys have shown that internet radio listeners are far more likely than regular radio listeners to spend money on a whole range of activities. You know, internet listeners vote, they dine out, eat fast food, and they grab a cup of coffee. And here's the interesting one. They buy items online at a much higher rate than all other market segments combined. Internet radio also enables businesses to connect with consumers during work hours, where increasingly more lifestyle decisions are being made. Advertise with the best. The Inception Radio Network offers competitive advertising rates to fit just about anyone's advertising budget. Stop by today at www.inceptionradionetwork.com or call us toll-free at 1-888-919-2355. Get the word out. Get results with the Inception Radio Network.
Are you a fan of Inception Radio Network? Do you reckon it's the best alternative talk radio station on the planet? Well, if you do, head to facebook.com/ Inception Radio Network and like the page. Tell your friends, spread the word, and keep listening to the best.
Hello, Inception Radio Network listeners. This is Amanda. Remember, you can take your Inception Radio shows on the go. Just download the Inception Radio Network app for your iPhone, iPad, or Android smartphones and access live shows, past shows, guest lineups, and much more. Just visit the iTunes Store or the Google Play Marketplace and download it today for free.
Your property tax bill. Have you seen it lately? It's frightening. Your property taxes are going up while your home value is going down. It's time to fight back and win. For the real truth about the property tax system, get attorney Pat Quintilian's book, Are You Getting Screwed on Your Property Taxes? How to Find Out and How to Fix It. Attorney Quintilian answers all your questions and gives you the facts you need to fight a property tax bill that is spiraling out of control. You'll also read about what happens to property owners who don't check their property records, only to find out too late they're taxed on square footage, fixtures, and even buildings that they don't own. Is this happening to you? Learn your rights. Buy attorney Pat Quintilian's book today. Are You Getting Screwed on Your Property Taxes? How to Find Out and How to Fix It. Available on Amazon.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to a very special show tonight on Supernatural Girls Radio. I am your host, Patricia Baker. I'm here with my co-host, PK, and a very important guest, Del Bigtree. And he is the producer of an incredible movie. You guys have got to see it. It is called Vaxxed, V-A-X-X-E-D. You can download it directly from the site vaxxedthemovie.com for just a few dollars. You can download it and you will be seriously informed about what's going on in the vaccine industry and how these children are being affected. Now, Del, I have a question for you, a very interesting question in our chat room that came from one of our listeners in Russia. And her name is Daria. And she said, President Putin in my home country believes that the Western governments are enslaving humanity through vaccines. Despite tensions between Russia and the U.S., is this something some advocates in the U.S. agree with Putin on?
You know, I've seen Putin, I haven't seen these statements come out of his mouth, and I don't speak Russian, so I probably wouldn't be able to verify that it's happened. But I do see these articles coming out, and, you know, do I agree with Putin? I mean, that's sort of a catchy, it's a tricky question, but he is correct that America is poisoning their children. That is true. On varying levels, and we could get into the details of what I mean by that, but is it to control us or to somehow, I don't know. I mean, that's the question that, that's the million-dollar question everyone asks me as I travel the country is why? Why are we doing this? I don't know why. And I don't know. People say, is it eugenics? I don't know, but I know it certainly would be a great way to deliver a eugenics program. But for me, I stick with greed. I think that greed is the worst addiction on this planet. And if a crack addict or an addict will rob from their own grandmother or sometimes even their own children, then I think people that get addicted to making large sums of money will also destroy the future of their children and their families and not worry about it. And so, you know, I don't know the why, but I really do honestly believe that this vaccine program is destroying the lives of an unmeasured amount of children and adults. And that's part of my question. That's what I ask politicians when I meet with them. You know, it's very easy for you to say, well, there's, you know, I'll walk into an office and here's what I'll say. I usually start the conversation like this. I say, look, would you mandate or force penicillin on everybody in this country that gets an infection? And your average intelligent senator or congressperson will say, no. And I say, why? And they'll say, well, because some people will have an allergic reaction and could die. I said, exactly. You do realize that vaccines and drugs are no different. We have never found a substance on this planet you can inject into everybody and someone's not going to have an allergic reaction to it. In fact, I'll take it a step further. We've never found a single piece of food that everyone on this planet can eat without having a deadly allergic reaction to it.
That's
so
true.
The discussion, you know, that, and I say this to the politicians, this discussion I want to have today is not going to be the usual discussion of whether vaccines are safe or not. I just proved to you scientifically you cannot say they're safe for everybody. So what I want to talk about today is the casualty. We know there's a casualty to our vaccine program. People will say it's an accepted casualty. And I want to know, what casualty are you accepting? Do you know how many children will be killed this year by vaccines? Do you know how many of them, their brain will swell and they will have mental issues or neurological issues the rest of their lives, may never even be able to go back to school? Do you know what the numbers are? Do you know if vaccines are causing multiple sclerosis or the asthma that's running rampant through our schools or ADD, ADHD or diabetes or eczema covering all of our children's bodies? These are things that are all on the rise, and we are not investigating if vaccines have anything to do with it, even though it makes a lot of sense when you start looking at how a vaccine works that it would be causing autoimmune issues, which we act like we don't know why they're skyrocketing through the roof. But what I say to every politician, and I will say it to every doctor, I've met head of infectious disease control just 3 days ago in Washington, and I said, do you know what the numbers are? Do you know what you're saying, accepted casualty? It's okay for you, apparently, that some children will be murdered by our vaccine program this year. How many is it? And they literally say, well, we don't have the data on that. And I said, then that's a problem. That's a problem for me as a journalist, because you cannot say accepted casualty if you do not know exactly what that casualty is. I believe this casualty is far greater than anyone will ever want to wrap their head around. I'm really nervous about how many children are really being injured by this vaccine program.
Exactly. And again, in your movie, you talk about the MMR vaccine, measles, mumps, rubella, and how it's being given to children under 3 years of age. And that's where you see the highest risk.
Right.
And at the same time, it's been offered as a way of dealing with this is to don't vaccinate them so young, vaccinate them later on, and also put it into a single vaccine. So measles is one, mumps is another, rubella is another, and they have absolutely rejected that. Why?
Well, I think, I mean, you can point to money. I mean, if you break the vaccine apart, which is one of the requests we made, people will be shocked when they actually watch Vaxxed that the film is not anti-vaccine. Even though every headline in the New York Times, the Washington Post, everybody that ever reports on this movie says the anti-vaccine movie. The moment the movie starts, you will begin realizing you've been lied to by every reporter you ever trusted, which is going to bring a whole other world crashing down around you. They're all lying to you. The film is not anti-vaccine. We give very specific ways that you could move forward with this vaccine program. Specifically in this case, the film is really focused on one vaccine, the MMR. And we say, you know, so people understand what we're talking about. What the whistleblower at the CDC came forward and said was, we were asked to look at the MMR vaccine in its relationship to autism. It was called a timing study. And what this, the hypothesis of the study, what they were looking at, because the fears coming out of the UK and around the world where parents were complaining about the MMR causing their child's autism. So the hypothesis they looked at was, is the earlier your child gets the MMR vaccine, is that making them more likely to develop autism? And so they looked at 3,000 kids from Atlanta, and you can watch the film to get into all the details, but the really big zinger is, you know, you had five scientists. They take all the data from these kids, and then they just lay them onto graphs like like we all learned how to do in high school. And you see how these, you know, these graphs lay out. And Dr. Thompson, the whistleblower, is the statistician. He's the mathematician. He is the one who is charting out exactly how this data was laying out. And so he's seeing these giant increases in autism and walking into the rest of the scientists saying, hey, guys, we got a problem. It's true. This vaccine is apparently causing autism. So one of the groups they looked at was they called it isolated autism. They'd seen rises in African-American communities and different things like that. But they said, let's look at this story we're hearing around the world, which is perfectly healthy children that are hitting all of their milestones, getting great grades and APCAR scores, you know, all the way through babyhood and childhood. And then all of a sudden they lose everything, lose the ability to walk, lose the words that they'd been speaking, and regress into autism. How would we see that story? And so what they did is they created a category called isolated autism. We'd never heard of it before, so it was a little confusing. But essentially, what it meant was of all the 3,000 kids, they only looked at the children that were perfectly healthy for the first year of life. They didn't have other issues. They weren't having, you know, developmental issues. They didn't have any seizures. They didn't have blindness. No other problems. They were hitting all their milestones. When they looked at that group, they discovered that those children of every race that were perfectly healthy for the first year of life were up to 7 or 8 times more likely to develop autism if they got the vaccine on the CDC schedule, which is between 12 and 18 months, versus those kids that for some reason the vaccine had not been delivered until after 3 years old. So everyone on the study got a vaccine, just some got them earlier than others, and those that got them earlier were 7 times more likely to develop autism. So that's what we find out happened in this study. And instead of that study being published so the public could see it, Dr. Thompson tells us a study, it was supposed to take 6 months. They had all the data. They're going to crank this study out in 6 months. Instead, it took 4 years because they went behind closed doors and started moving data tables, changing age groups, changing race, all these categories, trying to get rid of that effect. And when that didn't work, they cut the group in half. They kicked half the kids off of the study, which is total scientific fraud. You can't change the size of your study group once you're in the middle of a study. That's fraud.
That's right.
And then when that didn't work, he tells Congressman Bill Posey, a sitting congressman in Florida who brought this story before the Congress and demanded that Thompson be subpoenaed. He says, we dragged a garbage can in the middle of the room and were forced to destroy all of the data that showed the connection to autism and all of our hard drives. He said, luckily, I saw this coming, so I kept copies of all of those in a safe. And if you want to see what those 10,000 documents provide, then you have to watch Vaxxed. I mean, that's the place to start. It's got internal emails. You see him complaining to Julie Gerberding, the head of the CDC, saying, I'm not going to lie. You're asking me to lie, and children's lives are at stake. So it's a really compelling, unbelievable government cover-up. I mean, if you are into watching a movie about a government cover-up, you're not going to beat Vaxxed. Because this CDC whistleblower story, this fraud at the CDC, is going to make Watergate look like a nursery game. Nobody died because of Watergate. Millions of children are in harm's way because of this fraud from the CDC. And so you ask why? One of the things, we just want to break the MMR apart. We say, go back to single measles, single mumps, single rubella, because there were no parents complaining that that single measles vaccine caused their child to have autism. The moment you put those three together, all of a sudden, people all over the world are saying the same story, telling the same story. How do you ignore that? And then when you find out the study that was supposed to investigate it is a total fraud. And then people will sort of rip into me in the media and say, well, there's other studies. That's not the only study. Okay, my film is only about one study, really. But here's the deal. It's the most important study we ever did because it's the last study ever paid for by the U.S. government looking at the idea, do vaccines cause autism? This fraud, this study that was totally manipulated, convinced our government that vaccines were so safe that we don't ever have to put another dime to investigating if vaccines are causing autism. So even though you'll hear doctors say, oh, that's been thoroughly looked into, actually, no, for the last, since 2004, so for the last 13 years, not a red cent has gone into looking, do vaccines cause autism, or how might that be happening? And have you heard any other reason? Have you heard them come forward with, oh, we finally figured it out? No, you haven't.
No, because they don't
care. You know, I say it's like this. It's like a criminal investigation where the only suspect that has been let go is the one suspect millions of people are pointing to across the world. That's the one they've exonerated. They're sure that one didn't do it. But there's no other credible suspect, and nobody else is going to jail, and kids are still being injured every single day. So, you know.
It's unacceptable.
It's unacceptable.
We have to wake up. You know, all of us in the audience tonight listening to this, I know that you're all going to be watching the movie. I certainly, PK and I support that. You have to get involved. And like you said, Jill, you have to go and meet with your representatives and tell them this is how it is, and you're not going to accept this anymore. And demand justice, demand that this be exposed, demand that Dr. Thompson be subpoenaed before Congress so we can get all of this out in the open. We cannot accept this high level of secrecy that's gone out of the CDC anymore. This is awful.
Yeah, it's one of the things that's difficult. I mean, the film's been very successful. Even though we've been censored, we were kicked out of Tribeca, and we've had to fight to get into every theater we got into. We've been seen, you know, theatrically in, I think, over 300 or 400 cities across America, and now we're spreading out across the world. But what's hard right now, I'm trying to figure out, is there's a real sort of ostrich head in the sand thing taking place. Or if for those of that are people that are fans of The Matrix, I often think about the blue or the red pill.
Yes, that's a good way to put it.
There's a real desire to take that blue pill when it comes to this issue. So many parent friends of mine that will say, Del, I can't watch it. I'm just too afraid. I'm too afraid to see that it would be the truth, as though somehow, so you're going to continue vaccinating your child because ignorance is going to protect them, that if you hide yourself from this truth, it'll make it all go away. I swear that's what people are thinking somehow.
Well, I think you're right. And I think there's also another attitude that's going on that says, I don't want to take responsibility for this.
Sure.
So yeah. I'm going to hand this responsibility over to the CDC, the FDA, and my doctor. And then I'm absolved of anything that happens from here on in. And they couldn't be more wrong.
Well, so because your doctor is thinking the same thing. I'm going along with the AMA and the Pediatric Association, which says this is all okay, and every other doctor is going along with it, so we're all okay. And if it ends up being wrong, then I am absolved. But I have news for you. All of the doctors that went along with what they were asked to do in Nazi Germany were not absolved when it all came down to the final line. The Nuremberg trial said it does not matter if everybody else was saying it was okay. You knew better, and you should have known better, and you should have investigated. People get really freaked out that I'll bring Nazi Germany's up in this, you know, into this discussion. But it's the same thing. I mean, I remember all the discussions of how did all these Germans not know that Auschwitz was just down the street from them? That's a lie. They knew. The truth is we really don't. We have an ability to wear blinders like no animal on the planet. You know, this vaccine issue, now that I'm in the middle of it, proves it to me. You know, it is so easy to manipulate people and make them, you just keep repeating, vaccines are safe and effective, vaccines are safe and effective, trust your doctor, trust your doctor, trust your doctor, and people will do anything. And those doctors will do anything. And they're absolutely blind to their neighbor who's telling them, my child was injured by a vaccine. This invalid in my backyard that you see can't move, can't go to school, that happened because of a vaccine. And they go, well, doctors say that that's not true.
Exactly. And again, in their minds, they're absolved from any guilt because they're following orders and they're making a huge mistake. And as we were talking off the air, I tell everybody who has a chronic illness, if you think that your doctor's got the answer for you, you're dead wrong. And I mean dead. And you will die like a dog unless you roll up your sleeves and you get involved in your own healthcare. You start asking questions, you start doing research, and you don't just take what they hand you and shove it down your throat with a little bit of juice. It's just not how it works. If you want to live through this, then you have to really take charge of your own health. And the same is true with vaccines. And I'm not anti-vaccine. PK isn't anti-vaccine. And we've also had Garth Nicholson on the show. Do you know Garth, microbiologist who discovered the Gulf War syndrome?
No, I don't know him personally. I've heard about him, but I haven't run into him yet.
And he's also not anti-vaccine, but he tested these vaccines and he found they were contaminated with mycoplasma. And it just so happened, he told a great story on the show when he happened to be placed on an airplane next to somebody who was a representative of a vaccine company. And he turned to the guy and he said, you know, I've tested your vaccines and they're all contaminated with mycoplasma. And the guy said, what are you trying to do? Put us out of business?
Aye.
I mean, there was no concern, none, for the damage that the mycoplasma in the vaccines was going to do to these people.
Right. I wonder if they themselves are allowing their families to take these vaccines.
Well, I have asked that question. I meet a lot of people. The disheartening part of doing a story like this is, you know, when I was making the movie, I met so many doctors, and some of them, I mean, the heads of medical schools that would say to me, Del, I know vaccines are causing autism. But I will not say that on a camera because I don't want to get Wakefielded, which is sort of right. Andy Wakefield's the director of the film. He's also probably the most reviled doctor in medical history, certainly in our lifetime, because he simply said it looks like we should be investigating this MMR issue in the UK, and all hell broke loose. But it's so many doctors saying, I know it's causing autism and I won't say anything about it. And people say, well, how you're telling me doctors, they don't care about people. They would say something like, how would they do that? How would they live with themselves? I'll tell you exactly how it works. That doctor has got cancer research going on, has diabetes research going on in that same school. And so what they have to decide is, if I decide to speak out about this, that breakthrough I'm on the verge of with diabetes or the other things I care about will disappear from mankind because the pharmaceutical industry will destroy my career, or they'll just get to me by pulling the funding out of those other studies, and we will not move forward with that. So I will be silent about vaccines so that I can get on with the rest of my other great work to save the world. That's how they do it. That's how they justify it. It doesn't make them evil people, but that's what you're up against. And we all know that there's moments like that in our lives where you have to make a choice. Unfortunately, a grand, great body of doctors are looking the other way so that they can do the important things that they think they're doing. I can't forgive doctors much longer. The film's been out there a year. If you're refusing to watch it, if you're refusing to look into the whistleblower story, if you're refusing to demand answers to very, very honest and simple questions, then I say the blood is going to be on your hands. And there will be no, I will not let you off the hook, because this information is available to us. You cannot continue to just repeat vaccines are safe and effective without any proof of that statement. In fact, that statement goes in direct opposition to the highest court in the land. The Supreme Court, when looking at the Vaccine Compensation Act, which took away liability, brought in the greatest specialists in the world, and their final statement after looking at the vaccine program was this: vaccines are unavoidably unsafe. I didn't say that. Andy Wakefield didn't say that. The Supreme Court of the United States has ruled vaccines are unavoidably unsafe. Yet the Pediatric Association and the AMA go with a different statement. Their statement is vaccines are safe and effective. They are in direct opposition to the highest law in the land. I want to know how they're getting away with it.
Yes, we all would like to know. And I'm hoping that our broadcast tonight with you, Del, is going to wake up everybody in our audience to this issue. I mean, I can tell you that I was horrified when I read the CDC admitted that 98 million Americans received a polio vaccine that was contaminated with a cancer virus, the SV40. And yeah. I believe that was in our time frame, PK.
Yes, it was. It's scary.
And you look around, we look around at so many people in our age group that are being diagnosed with cancer. Did it come from this? We don't know. But it's certainly something to think about and to question. We have to question this.
And how are you going to find out if it's causing cancer if they refuse to do a study? And anyone
exactly.
that asked to do a study has their career destroyed. Yes. How do we get to the bottom of these things?
How do we do that? Exactly, exactly. Well, we're going to take another very short break, and we will continue this incredible conversation. Again, everybody, wake up to this. Please consider talking to your legislators. We've got to make a difference with this issue. Our children, the future is all at stake. This is worse, in my mind, than any nuclear war that could be coming down the path. So stay tuned, everybody. You are listening to Supernatural Girls Radio, and we will be right back.
Listening to IRN, the Inception Radio Network, Chicago, Illinois.
Hi, Inception Radio Network listeners. This is Amanda. Just a reminder that Inception Radio Network is on Twitter. Follow us at @I_R_N and keep up to date about who's on tonight, what interviews they'll be doing, who's guest spotting, what topics they'll be covering. Tweet to us, tweet about us, retweet topics to your friends, and most importantly, never miss a great show again. That's I_R_N.
Don't have a computer? Is your internet connection down? Don't worry. Use your trusty cell phone or landline and call into our listen line at 401-283-6700 to listen to the Inception Radio Network 24/7. Again, that call-in number is 401-283-6700. For the Inception Radio Network, I am MJ.
My name is Ezra, and I'm from thehighend.org. You've heard of medical marijuana. But who can you trust for proper guidance? Here at thehighend.org, we have all the information you need. Did you know that scientists have discovered cannabis can reduce inflammation, pain, and spasms? It's helped my patients reduce the symptoms of autoimmune diseases, PTSD, autism, and insomnia. A compound from hemp called CBD is doing wonders for intestinal issues, anxiety, and the nervous system. I sell this compound at thehighend.org. I've worked as a medical marijuana consultant and educator for the past 6 years, and here at the High End.
Hey there, I'm a glue stick, so I have one job. I glue kids' stuff. So sorry for being jealous of Geico, who does a ton more, like give you 24/7 access to thousands of licensed agents. And Geico has been around for over 75 years and has a 97% customer satisfaction rating. While I've just got mediocre adhesive skills, Geico also has an award-winning mobile app. Uh-oh, arts and crafts time. No eating the glue stick. Miss Lydia!
Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
M.org. I can help you choose from the hundreds of cannabis strains and products and find the ones that are best for your needs. To learn more about cannabis, schedule a Skype or phone consultation, or to have a CBD product shipped right to your door, visit thehighend.org. That's thehighend, all one word, .org. I'll help make your health high-end.
Hello, Inception Radio Network. Would you like your favorite show to be played again live on air? Well, now the choice is in your hands with IRN's live request portal, an easy way to request your favorite show with a simple click. IRN's live request portal now gives you exclusive access to all the shows. How easy is it? Simply type a show name or a guest name, click request, even write a dedication message, and that's it. Try it now. Simply visit InceptionRadioNetwork.com, click on the live request tab under the show menu. Now playing your favorite show is just a mouse click away.
Are you a fan of Inception Radio Network? Do you reckon it's the best alternative talk radio station on the planet? Well, if you do, head to facebook.com/ Inception Radio Network and like the page. Tell your friends, spread the word, and keep listening to the best.
Are you ready for a new experience of freedom and powerful connection? Would you like a positive, effortless change in your life? Then come to CosmicFusion.com, where we offer the most advanced energy clearing and expansion techniques in the world, with a quantum vortex energy to activate your divine blueprint and life's purpose. When your soul leads the way with cosmic fusion and quantum vortex energy, you can break clear of past difficulties and blocks with the power of the source. With cosmic fusion, the source energy does the work for you. It's easy and effortless. Listen to our free meditation right from our cosmic fusion website, the Cosmic Code Meditation. Sign up for one of our interactive webinars today. Come to Cosmic Fusion, www.kosmicfusion.com, to experience an effortless awakening and transformation. Are you ready for an upgrade? Are you ready for a new experience of living in the fifth dimensional magic and powerful connection? Then visit CosmicFusion.com today. CosmicFusion.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to Supernatural Girls Radio. This is a very special show tonight with a great guest, Del Bigtree. He is the producer of a tremendous film. You must see it. It is called Vaxxed, V-A-X-X-E-D, and you can find it online at vaxxedthemovie.com. And just for a few dollars, you can download it immediately and watch it, and you will... your eyes will be opened. This is something you really need to see. Now, PK and I highly recommend it. It is a great film. Del, you've done a great job. Now, we were talking off the air about a rumor we heard that President Trump has appointed someone to look into vaccines. Tell us about that.
Yeah, just I think it was about 2 months ago now, Bobby Kennedy was... brought into Trump Towers and had a discussion about chairing a vaccine safety commission. Now, this is an issue that, you know, I don't want to sort of get into politics here. These are just the facts of the matter. Donald Trump is the only presidential candidate that forcibly and honestly stood ground when asked on the campaign and in debates. You've said that you believe that vaccines cause autism. He said, yes, I know they do. This is a crisis most people don't know about. I've watched children in my office running around that were, you know, friends of mine's kids that went in for a vaccine, and now they can't walk or talk, and they're autistic. And that was essentially what he said. And he stood by those statements. And so that's one of the cracks against him, is that he's anti-science because he doesn't believe in vaccines. And the truth is he said the same thing that everyone else says over and over again. I'm not anti-vaccine. I believe in vaccines. My kids are vaccinated. I just think we're giving too many, too often, too soon, too early, you know, too big. And we should be looking into it, as we should be looking into it. And so what was interesting is the moment Bobby Kennedy stepped in front of the news and announced, I've just been asked to chair a vaccine safety commission, the entire medical world and almost all of the media descended upon Trump Towers. They called Bobby Kennedy a liar and said that he was an anti-vaccine zealot. I mean, this is Bobby Kennedy. This is a man who's been spent his life fighting for the environment, trying to clean up the air and water. As he puts it, I've been trying to get mercury out of fish for most of my career, and no one calls me anti-fish. But I try to get mercury out of a flu shot, and I'm an anti-vaccine lunatic. People really need to check in with themselves when you watch people you respect getting turned into enemies. So anyway, what I say is this, you know, we're still hoping that that commission comes through. There's several things coming inside of the Trump organization that we hope will lead to investigation. And for people that watch this happen in the news, again, you have to start training yourself to see what's taking place and ask the appropriate questions. Because somehow our instincts are being bred out of us. But let me return you to the instinct you used to have. When you see a president or someone like that say, I want to chair a vaccine safety commission. I'm going to reach across the aisle to Bobby Kennedy, one of the most liberal Democrats in the nation, to do this so you don't think I have a bias. And I'd like to have this done. And when you see, literally, there was a letter that was signed by 350 medical organizations, including the AMA and the Pediatric Association, demanding a stop to this commission. Please let us visit with you and stop this vaccine safety commission right away. And now there's another letter by congressmen and senators saying, please stop this safety commission. If there's not a red flag going off inside of you, then let me try and see if we can't unearth it for you. If their statement is vaccines are safe and effective and they believe that wholeheartedly, what are they worried a vaccine safety commission would find? You know, if they really believe the vaccines are safe, shouldn't their statement be, you know, we support Donald Trump's safety commission because this is our babies and these are our children. And even if that would be turn out to be redundant, which we are sure it will, this is our most precious commodity. So we welcome John F. Kennedy Jr. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and Donald Trump. And we know they'll come to the same conclusions we have that vaccines are safe and effective. They're not saying anything like that. They're screaming like their hair is on fire and that, you know, that nuclear war is about to hit America if this happens. So that's where people need to start asking themselves why. And I said this. I said this to a very high up vaccine person. And this is the point. Are they suggesting that because Bobby Kennedy has made comments about mercury, that he thinks mercury, the second most toxic substance in the universe, should not be injected into babies and pregnant women, because he's made that statement, he has a bias, and that if you perform studies and safety studies with a bias, you might affect the outcome? Is that what they're suggesting? Because if that's what they're suggesting, then they have just stepped into my living room. That is my point. If you live in a nation where every scientist believes completely and totally wholeheartedly that vaccines are the greatest thing that ever existed, there's absolutely no problem with them. They are totally safe and effective. And every study we set out to prove that they're safe and effective ends up proving exactly that, I'm concerned. Who has got the right amount of skepticism? Who is doing real safety testing? Because we have an entire brainwashed concept of vaccines that I believe is affecting the science. So if they are suggesting that somebody that came in with skepticism might come to a better conclusion, we better get someone with skepticism on this right away. Because that's what a safety test really is. It's a total skeptic setting out to prove that this product either doesn't work or is dangerous. And if they are unable to prove that, you now have a safe product. You do not leave it in the hands of the pharmaceutical industry to say, hey, yeah, no, it's totally effective and it works great and it doesn't hurt anybody. Buy it up. In fact, mandate it on everybody in America.
Exactly. I mean, this is common sense, everybody.
It is. It used to be.
I was going to say past. Yes, it used to be.
It used to be common sense. People used to care. People used to know how to do critical thinking. And that's what we're urging everybody in our audience to do tonight. Now, Del, can you talk a little bit about the lady that just was... it was heartbreaking to hear her story, but her story was so profound. Sheila Ealy in your movie.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sheila Ealy is a mother who had twins, African-American mother, and brought her children in for their vaccines. I believe it was at 12 months. And when she was in there, they had laid out, you know, I think it was three of the vaccines for her son and then three for her daughter. And her son was getting his vaccines, and then her daughter was acting up, and she turned around and grabbed her baby. And when she came back around, all of her son's vaccines were no longer on the table because he'd gotten them. And then one of hers was missing. And she said, wait a minute, hold on a second. What happened to that other vaccine for, you know, her daughter who hadn't gotten one yet? And she said, oh, my God, the nurse says, I made a mistake. I gave your son two of the MMR. And so as the story goes, they're now in their teen years, and her son has got the mentality of maybe a second or third grader can't cross the street by himself. And she walked out of that hospital, that doctor's office, and never, ever gave her daughter a vaccine. Her daughter speaks five or six languages, is a concert pianist, valedictorian of the class, a total genius. So you just see this juxtaposition. And some people will say to me, which is interesting, they'll catch the part of the story and say, well, he got two MMR vaccines, so it wasn't just the one. Yes, but I would say this. Paul Offit, who's the man who travels the nation celebrating vaccines, who's made millions of dollars off of his own vaccine patents, he's brought in to reprimand and say that Dell's crazy and all the people around me. But he has said you could give a child 10,000 vaccines and it wouldn't hurt them at all. So if that's the case, then obviously two MMRs was too much for this child. And something that we have to think about is it's this one-size-fits-all mentality, you know, that we don't change the size of these vaccines, whether like hepatitis B is given on day one of birth. They'll give that to a 4-pound preemie and a 12-pound, you know, natural birth. It doesn't matter. They don't change the size of that vaccine or the toxins in it. And so there's a lot of problems on every level. But Sheila's story is, as you've pointed out, if you see the film, mm-hmm. There's not a dry eye in the theater.
Oh, yeah.
You cannot breathe when she tells her story. In fact, making the film, it got to the point where I would just say, are we watching down Sheila's section again? If we're not going to make any edits, I have to leave the room because I can't sit through it anymore. It's so potent. And it's one of several really powerful stories, but she tells it so well. She's so clear in her description of what took place. And then you see the kids side by side, which is not, by the way, an anomaly. I've traveled the nation now with vaxxed, and we have a bus that travels all over, and people are signing the side of the bus with, it's like a memorial to their injured children and dead children. And we have, I think, over 7,000 signatures now on the bus over the course of a few months. But we hear this story all the time. In fact, a site I'd like to say is go to vaxxed.com, just simply vaxxed.com. You can watch the film there, but you can also watch, I think it's over 500 interviews across the nation of parents telling the exact same story as vaxxed, how their child was injured by every vaccine. It's a very interesting site because you can click on the vaccine. So it's not just about MMR anymore for us. Immediately upon going and doing the movie, people would come up afterwards at our Q&As and say, you know, my child never even got the MMR. We didn't get that far. My child got autism after the DTaP vaccine. In fact, I can say that DTaP, in our very unscientific research, but people walking up to us, DTaP has caused more autism than MMR, which I found surprising. And I also found surprising that the flu shot has probably killed more children than any of the other vaccines that I know of. That's probably, that stat is somewhat askew because those children could speak and were walking and running around and playing soccer when they died. So it was obvious they died from the vaccine. Whereas SIDS, something that happens to a baby, I think most likely that's a vaccine death. But they can't speak, and the doctors tell us we're crazy if we say it happened right after the vaccine. And so that sort of goes unreported. But, you know, across the board, people say to me, you know, where is the safe vaccine? And I say, you know, I'm still looking for it. I have a couple of issues. I haven't met, you know, every single vaccine has killed somebody that I've met, and it's destroyed the lives of children and people that I've met, every single one of them. And when I look for the safety testing, none of them are being tested to the standards that I learned in high school. double-blind safety experiment. One group gets a placebo. The other group gets the product. And we see, does it cause cancer more? Does it cause mutagenic effects, which is mutation of your DNA? This is what drugs have to go through. So I point out that Viagra, you know, Grandpa's Viagra got 10 years of safety testing, double-blind safety experiments. We followed these people. Did they develop cancer, other issues like that? That's what I thought was happening with vaccines. And you look at hepatitis B given to a day one old baby. So Grandpa's drug is getting 10 years so that he can have an erection. And our baby, to avoid hepatitis B, which, by the way, is just like AIDS. It's a sexually transmitted disease. You only get through needles or having sex. So why you're giving it to a day one old baby is absolutely mind boggling to me. And so within hours of being born, gasping for their first breaths, we give them a hepatitis B vaccine. And then, you know, so I say, aside from being totally unnecessary at that time in their life, what else is in that vaccine? Well, you look at it and it's got aluminum, a known neurotoxin. I'm going to quickly try to lay this out because it shows, I think it's the beginning of the insanity. Hep B, you know, I looked into aluminum. When did we ever study injecting aluminum to human beings? If you've looked at any medical journals in the last couple of weeks, you'll see they're basically saying stop using all aluminum foil. This is such a bad neurotoxin. We think it's causing Alzheimer's now. I mean, this is coming out in medical journals. That's how scary aluminum is. So we're injecting it into babies. And you know what? There's not ever in the history of mankind ever been a study injecting aluminum into anybody. We've never studied it. And so
we are doing it.
You're like, wow, we're a human experiment. So, but there was one study done that looked at eating aluminum. This is what they based their entire safety principle on. What they discovered was a healthy child that eats aluminum in fish or things like that that have been polluted, that a healthy child can only eat up to 30 micrograms of aluminum. Past 30 micrograms, it's considered neurotoxic and could do brain damage. So I look at the vaccine and say, well, certainly if eating 30 micrograms of aluminum is toxic, then injecting 30 micrograms into a closed system, it's not going to go through your body and come out the other end. It's going to stay in your bloodstream, go to your brain and travel around your body. So certainly we're not injecting the same amount we found out was toxic to be eaten. And you'd be surprised to find out that, no, we're not. It's much worse. We're not injecting 30 micrograms into that day one old baby. We're not injecting twice that, 60 micrograms. We're not injecting four times, you know, 120, not 200. We are injecting 250 micrograms of aluminum, nearly 10 times the toxic load ever approved for ingestion in a child into a 4-pound baby. And then, you know, people say, well, I mean, is it safe? Because here's the stat that goes alongside of that for me. This is official stat in America. We have more babies die on the first day of life than every other industrialized nation combined. Somebody want to stop the hepatitis B vaccine today in day one old babies? People say, well, I've talked to doctors like, well, you can't prove that's what's doing it. You know what? Do me a favor and move that vaccine 10 years down the road where the child may even need it. And let's see what happens.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Oh, yeah, and by the way, to finish the story, how long was the overall safety test on hepatitis B? So remember, Grandpa's Viagra got 10 years. I say to politicians, what number would I give you right now that would make you jump up behind that table, pick up your phone and say, this is criminal, I'm ending this now? What number would it be? And they'll say, well, I'm not going to make a statement like that. But I guess if hepatitis B got half the testing that Viagra did, like 5 years, I'd be upset. Oh, no. Okay. It didn't get 5 years. It didn't get 1 year. It didn't get 1 month. It didn't get 1 week. Hepatitis B vaccine was tested for 5 days before it was put on the market.
God.
So anyone that wants to tell me that I'm crazy, I'm putting children at risk, and that any of us that are questioning this are just a bunch of crackpots, Riddle me this, Batman. Why doesn't it bother you? They are injecting something into your day one old baby that went through 5 days of safety tests. By the way, France studied it for 2 years and found that inside of 2 years it was causing multiple sclerosis, and they stopped using it.
See? There you go.
Oh, but why not us. So good Lord.
My God, we have got to wake up, everybody. Now, I know we're running out of time, Del, but we were talking about the incredible levels of conflict of interest with the CDC, the drug companies, the FDA. Can you mention a few of those so we're also aware of who's in bed with whom here?
Yeah, we have very little time, so let me just point out one of the things that I just discovered recently. So I talked about the fact that we cannot sue the vaccine maker. So what they did is they built this pseudo court. It's sort of a kangaroo court. It has no judge. It has no jury. No press is allowed. And if you win, you're silenced and it's locked up and no one ever can use it as precedence. We've never seen anything like it. And essentially what happens is there's a tax of about 75 cents on every single vaccine sold, and then that is put into a bank account to pay off those that are injured. Since we did that in 1986, created this court and this bank account, we've paid out over $3.5 billion with a B in injuries to death and injuries. Oh. So to begin with, the CDC's primary job and people say, well, why would they cover it up? Why would they be involved in this? Well, their number one job is to promote vaccines. That's what they were designed for. They promote vaccine uptake across the nation. And the way they do that is they buy $4.5 billion in vaccines every year. Buy it, purchase it, and then sell it to and distribute it throughout the country. So the CDC is actually a marketing arm to the tune of $4.5 billion worth of vaccines for the pharmaceutical industry. This is a government agency. Now, that in itself is not diabolical. You can understand why the government wants them to promote vaccines, but why would you give that promotion marketing body the job of deciding if vaccines are safe? So now you see a massive conflict of interest if they do a study like Thompson tells us, and they discover this vaccine is causing autism. He believes and says, we had a fear that this would drop people's confidence in vaccines and they'd stop vaccinating. And so then we would fail our primary mission of getting rid of this $4.5 billion worth of vaccines we're buying every year. So that's just a massive conflict of interest. They shouldn't be in. They can't do it. But it gets worse. So if you're in vaccine court, I just discovered this. So Health and Human Services oversees the CDC, the FDA, and the National Institutes of Health. So when you sue, when your child is injured or killed by a vaccine, you don't sue the pharmaceutical industry. You sue people. When I ask people, who do you think we sue? They say, well, I guess the government of the United States. No, it's more specific than that. You're suing Health and Human Services. And so think about this. Health and Human Services, that does all of your scientific testing on your vaccines, deciding whether they're safe or not, they now have the job of beating you in court. They're going to defend themselves, say you're crazy, you don't have the science, and the vaccine did not injure your child. And what are you going to use against the Health and Human Services to prove that, yes, my child was injured by a vaccine? You're going to use the science produced by Health and Human Services. You were being forced to essentially have the murderer do your forensics for you. I mean, that conflict doesn't blow people's minds.
Scary, by God.
It's scary. It's amazing this ever got set up this way. And these are facts. If you investigate it, these are the facts. It is.
What can we do to change it now? Is there anything we can do to change it now?
Well, I say, first of all, you really got to start talking to your local, your state legislators. I think we have lost control of the federal government. I'm fighting on that level. I'm working with Bobby Kennedy and other people to try and really shift that. But you still can make change at the state level. And vaccines, you know, mandates and those things are decided by the state. So the best thing you can do is to watch back, start asking questions, and then go in and make an appointment and see your state congressman and your state senator and tell them you don't want these mandated vaccine policies, you want to keep your exemptions, you need to join your local chapters of either vaccine freedom or health freedom groups. Find it, whatever it is in your state, because as you pointed out, there's 135 bills this year. It's going to be worse next year, trying to take away your rights. They're going to be forcing vaccines on you. And if you don't want to get on that train, and I think about this moment with the Jews in Germany, if you don't want to get in that train car, then you better do something before that train ever arrives. And that's what our task is right now. We as citizens of this country have got to wake up. This is no joke. I'm not playing around, and sticking your head in the sand is not going to make this go away. We are a growing movement. Vaxxed is changing the world. There are more and more people standing up right now. That's why you're seeing so many headlines in New York Times, how the anti-vaxxers are winning, what's going on. They're right. I don't believe we're anti-vaxxers. We're actually vaccine skeptics. We have trouble with just this blanket belief in vaccines. But the truth is we are winning. Join us. Watch the movement. Join the movement. Watch the movie, because this is a founding fathers moment. We will either stand in a nation that is free to decide what is injected into their bodies, what they eat, what they say, how we think, how we speak. That is what our founding fathers dreamed of. And if we let this moment slip through our hands, if we let the government inject our children and us without our say, we have lost the dream of the greatest nation in the world. That's what this is about. And I hope everyone will start doing their research. Stop just blindly listening to a doctor that's been lied to just like the rest of us. It's time we all stand up. Doctors, lawyers, clergy, humans, mothers, fathers. It's our time. It's now.
Del, thank you so much for joining us tonight for a very powerful show. This is what people need to hear. I want to thank our audience for tuning in, and I hope you will all go out and watch Vaxxed, the movie. It is tremendous. It will inspire you to take positive action. So thanks again, Del, and we'll be back next week with another terrific show. We've got Len Kasten joining us, and until then, we will see you on the Blue Highway. Good night, everyone.
Good night.